everybody, and welcome to another Recovery Radio broadcast recorded live at the Latah Recovery Center in downtown Moscow. Recovery Radio is an outreach of the Latah Recovery Center, located at 531 South Main Street in Moscow. You can contact the LRC by phone at 208-883-1045 or by email at latahrecoverycenter@gmail.com. You can find them on the web at latahrecoverycenter.org and on Facebook. Recovery Radio's purpose is to share with our community how recovery from addiction and mental health issues affects us all, to make our community aware of the recovery resources available in our area, and to share the personal stories of people in and around recovery, highlighting their experience, insight, and hope for continuing recovery. And February calendar is now up online, and you can find that at the latahrecoverycenter.org website. Encourage you to go and see all the different offerings we have for this month. And one announcement I'm going to start off with is the Artist in Residence program. You may have received an email if you're on our mailing list highlighting what's going on with the Artist in Residence program. There was one error that went out. The final date for submissions for the first Artist in Residence time slot, which is March through May, the deadline is actually February 11th, not January 28th, like it shows on there. But regardless, we're looking to have people keep putting in applications because we're going to be going all through the year through November. So there'll be two more residencies available. And please apply for it. There's a $500 stipend that goes along with it, along with some good opportunities to work with people in recovery and enhance their lives through your art. So I encourage you to go and look at that. You can also find the information on the website, latahrecoverycenter.org, and click on the Artist in Residence tab at the top of the page. And today we are also happy to have Daryl Keim, the Latah Recovery Center Director here, to talk a little bit about what's going to happen coming up in March, which is our fundraiser, Breakfast and Dessert. So, welcome, Daryl, and why don't you share with us what's up?
You bet, Radio Jonathan. I'm happy to do that. What's up? You asked me to specifically today to talk about our upcoming fundraiser on March 2nd. And what we have, we've been doing this for years, but we've added to it. We have a fundraising breakfast that we do March 2nd, 7 a.m. at the Best Western University Inn. And then, because that got so popular a few years ago, we extended to a fundraising dessert also, which is also at the Best Western University Inn. That's at 7 p.m. Details about that, it's actually pretty simple. We're currently recruiting table captains, and we're asking the table captains to help us fill a table with 8 people, so 7 people plus themselves. There's no cost for the breakfast for the people that come with the table captains. And we talk about what we're doing at the Recovery Center for about an hour. Give a good, actually very uplifting presentation talking about the possibilities of recovery for mental health and addictions. Talk about the different programs we've got. Have some social time. Have some good food. And we ask them to make a donation. It's that simple.
That sounds way too easy. And being a table captain also, that's, like you said, that's really easy. It's, you know, you're not begging for money. You're just asking people to come have breakfast with you.
Exactly. You know, sometimes when you hear about table captains, they have big expectations. Like I've been to some fundraisers where I think it was a tea party, and they expected you to prepare the tea and bring your own tea set and all that. No, we don't ask any of that. We just ask you to show up, and the table is going to be pre-decorated and all that. Others, they have a minimal expectation for how much your table raises. Like, we're expecting you to raise $1,000.
Right.
We don't have that. We certainly hope to raise $1,000 at your table, but, you know, no expectation. And in fact, unless you go to the extra effort of counting how much you raised, you're just going to pass around an anonymous envelope at a certain point during the presentation, and you'll collect it and hand the envelope to one of our runners.
and you let the chips fall where they may.
Yep.
I've been at the breakfast religiously since the get-go. And
interesting you say religiously. I do a lot of prayer there, too.
Yeah, there you go. Absolutely. It's a great time. Hearing some of the stories, because we'll have somebody there to share their story of recovery. So inspiring, so amazing to sit back and hear it. I have a particular love of it because I'm in recovery, and I'm fortunate enough to be able to go to a lot of meetings and hear what we call speaker meetings and hear people tell their story of their experience, their strength, and their hope. And this is a great way for folks out there who may not have been around the recovery movement and maybe want to know what their money's going to go and do. And when you hear a story like we hope to hear this coming March 2nd, it's going to be awe-inspiring. I know the story. That's why I can say that. It's fantastic.
No pressure, huh?
No pressure. Well, great, Daryl. Is there anything else new and exciting you want to share about? I know we're getting close to being done on our remodel.
We are getting close to that. And, one of the things you told me you wanted to talk about was what do we spend the money on that we do at the fundraiser?
And there we go.
And, the fundraiser, that breakfast last year raised about, well, the breakfast and the dessert,
right,
raised about $40,000. And to give you guys an idea of what that means for us, because $40,000 can sound like a lot or a little, depending upon what you're doing. If you're buying a Coke, that's a lot of money. If you're buying a house, that's not much money at all. So $40,000 for us, our budget for the recovery center, not for the crisis center, just for the recovery center, is around $150,000 to $160,000. So $40,000 is about, 20% of our budget. Right. So it's rather important. And here's the nice thing about the money that we raise at the fundraising breakfast and dessert. When you are funded via grants and you're funded via government contracts, they're always very specific about exactly what you can spend the money on. This is money we can use for the other stuff. So this is money, the grant didn't pay for us to buy garbage bags. Well, this buys us garbage bags. This buys us hot and cold running water. This buys us things like that. But it also buys us the chance to save our money for long-term projects.
Right.
And that is an excellent example with the work that we're having done in the recovery center right now and the renovations that we're having done. So we'll have a couple, in fact, of private meeting spaces, a large private room and a small private room, private staff offices. Right now, if you go in there, it's a mess of 2x4s. But in the past, when you went in there, you basically saw two rooms. One was a shared staff room where my staff, three of them, would meet, and they would try and do office work and have recovery coach meetings. And one was a large, large room. Now, you still have that large, large room, but it's a little bit smaller. It's walled off. And it's going to have doors, so it's vastly more private. Then we divided what was the staff area. We made it a little bigger. We divided that into three. A small meeting room that can hold around 8 people, and then 2 staff rooms that will actually be independent from each other. So when they're doing recovery coaching, again, they've got some privacy. So that's the type of thing that we're able to do with the money that we raise at the breakfast and at the dessert. It also enables us to grow our programs locally. For instance, we're looking into the possibility of trying to bring safe and sober housing into the Moscow area. We're able to do that because we're able to save money because we are able to do things like this fundraiser that allow us to save money for long-term projects again.
Right. So even though, like you said, it's a big chunk of the budget, it goes to a whole bunch of things that really need going. I mean, we have to keep toilet paper in the restrooms. I find that's of critical importance at certain times.
That is preferred.
Yeah. And, think about it for the people listening. Think about your house. What's your budget in a year for toilet paper, paper towels, and dish soap? Yeah. Oh God, coffee? Are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
You burned through 20 grand in 6 months on that. Not me, of course, because I'm cheap and drink swill. But you know, there's folks out there that like their little boutique coffees, and I don't fault them for that. I'm just cheap. So great, Daryl. That's a lot of good information, and appreciate you popping in and sharing that with us.
Anytime you guys want me to pop in and talk, you know, talk is free.
I know where to find you, right down the hall.
That is very true.
All right. Thanks, Daryl. Thanks for coming in.
You bet. Thank you, Radio Jonathan.
Okay. And I am Radio Johnny. I am a grateful recovered alcoholic, recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. And in the studio, as always, well, almost always with me. Yeah.
Is your co-host. I'm Denise, and I'm a child of God and a grateful recovered addict, and very happy to be here today. It's nice getting to take a break and sit down and record the show with you, Johnny.
Yes. Well, I, you know, it's what I live for from week to week, that and a million other things I do. So.
Right.
But I get it. It's nice. It's good to have this time to talk about our recoveries and how our lives have changed as a result of putting a plug in the jug and a cap on the pill bottle and going on from there.
Well said.
Today, Denise wanted to share a little bit about something very, I think, very exciting that she's going to be doing at Celebrate Recovery Thursday night.
Yep, on Thursday night. Yep.
And why don't you go ahead and tell us, tell the folks what's up.
So our restoration pastor, Sherry Hall, thought it would be a really great idea to make a video to share about why it's important or what reason people like to get chips. So, you know, AA and NA, you guys, we all get chips for clean time or sobriety time. And she wanted people to also know that, of course, you can get chips for being in recovery from drugs and alcohol, but you can also get it for other things like working on your codependency or grief or pornography addiction, or there's just a multitude of different kinds of things. And honestly, if it seems like it's something that's important to you, that you identify as being an issue in your life and you would like to work on that, you can pretty much name it what you need to.
Right. Recovery takes many, many different forms.
Yes.
We talk in general terms at the recovery center about mental health issues.
Yes.
Well, mental health includes addictions to unhealthy behaviors.
Yes.
Typically when people say mental health issues, you know, they're thinking schizoaffective disorder or, you know, things along those lines. No, I mean, you don't have to have a diagnosis, you know, that's that heavy to find out that you are having trouble dealing with grief, for instance.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. And so some of the other things that come to mind are, you know, things like cutting or food issues. There's just a multitude of different things. And so working on these things to better your life is, I think, just a great way to stay in recovery if you are an addict or an alcoholic. In my recovery, it keeps me from going back to those things, and it also helps move me forward in my relationships with people and also my happiness, you know, to be dealing with things. So I identified that one of the things, well, the original thing, as I look back at being a young person, that started to cause hurt and pain and then kind of spiraled into codependency and a multitude of different kinds of coping and just really annoying traits about myself was grief and loss. And so over the last 4 years, I've been working on that area and how I deal with grief and loss. And I've had, unfortunately, lots of practice working on how I react to and cope with the loss of friends and family. And then also there are other kinds of losses that happen, you know, throughout life or, you know, even just the situation that's been going on for the past 2 years, you know, all these kinds of different things that cause grief in our life. It's been explained to me that grief encompasses like divorce and loss of a job, you know, along, of course, with death and different kinds of things. But it can mean more than I originally thought it meant. Anyway, so by working on these things, what that looks like is I have, again, I've talked about this before, I have an accountability meeting that I have once a week with a couple of ladies. I go to Restoration Night, which was formerly known as Celebrate Recovery, which still does those step studies, but also a lot of other things. And I'm real with people. You know, I'm always in a group. Currently, I'm in the Genesis Blueprint group that goes for about a year. And I show up and I answer the questions and I'm vulnerable. And when things happen, like the death of someone, or, you know, it could be a multitude of things. I could be dealing with suicide attempts in my family or something like that. These things are hard. And I need to be able to talk about them with friends so that I'm not just isolating and keeping them inside. And because I can tell by looking back at my life that because I didn't have a counselor or steady people in my life, friends, and enough family that I could talk to and trust safe people, that it led to relying a lot on boyfriends.
Sure.
Yeah, and so, like, really looking back at it, at about 13, I started dating, and just really in my mind, I was putting so much pressure on this person to make me happy because I wasn't happy. You know, there's just so many things going on, and I didn't have a male person speaking into my life to point out my qualities and my value. And so I looked to my value and who I was through who I was dating. And that continued on until I started to realize that was an issue just a few years ago.
Sure.
Which makes, if you were ever dating me or my current husband married to me, it makes the job of being my significant other or spouse pretty heavy. That's a lot to put on someone. And no one person should bear what I expected. And so...
Right. Yeah. Well, that's a huge confession, and certainly something I understand. In my relationships earlier in my life, I look not only at, from the, you know, opposite sex from my friends, you know, do something to make me happy. I mean, it wasn't a conscious thought, but I hung out with people that were dangerous, that took huge risks because that was exciting. You know, I dated women and had casual sex with a lot of them because it was exciting. All the wrong reasons for me for doing something. I mean, if you want excitement in your life, go jump out of an airplane, do some rock climbing, which I did. It was terrifying, but it was exciting. So yeah, that's really not an unusual thing for people to, you know, pursue to make their lives what they think is better. Because what we're looking for is we're looking for that soothing comfort zone where we can feel safe and controlling in our environment. That's a big thing in relationships that I don't think enough people really pay attention to.
Agreed.
You don't have to work very hard to say to yourself, why am I asking this person for this? Is, you know, sex, companionship, financial help. I mean, it covers the spectrum. You really got to ask yourself, why am I doing this?
Yeah, I think a lot of my stuff stems from just being self-centered, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well,
and so, yeah, that's,
yeah,
that's
in,
a big deal.
In AA, the primary focus in the big book, when we look at ourselves, and we have to realize that, you know, we're a perfect example of self-will run riot, you know, and that selfishness and self-centeredness is really the key to our problems.
Yeah. Yeah. And so taking the time to really realize how all of those kinds of things, like the codependency and dishonesty and just all sorts of things that I've struggled with in my life have affected the people that I care about around me. Just waking up and realizing how detrimental that has been to them and to myself as well, honestly, you know, and trying to engage with people during the times that I'm hurt and even just on a regular basis where I'm learning how to do this better, more healthy.
So what
it's
sort
pretty
of-
in-depth.
You've outlined what you've recognized in yourself as being the causation of a lot of the other issues you've dealt with in your life. What are you doing now to correct those issues? I mean, obviously you're working different programs, but what sort of things is Denise focused on doing? Mm-hmm. What actions, I guess, is
so towards other people, or like the things that I do just in general?
Well, all of
okay.
that.
One thing that comes to mind when you started asking that question was, again, going back to being self-centered, especially when I'm in the midst of like pain and, you know, being overwhelmed, I struggle with yelling. And so that's something that I started to work on a few years ago, to stop yelling at people. I mean, just because I'm upset or I'm struggling doesn't mean that I need to be like that. You know,
right.
It's scary. There's no reason to snap at people. There's, you know, most of the time the people around me are just trying to help me. That's something that I try to keep an eye on. And if that happens, then I need to circle back around and apologize. And I do. I also use that to be able to recognize how I'm doing. What's going on? If I'm starting to get kind of snippy and lose it, then there's a lot going on. And I need to think about that. Because, you know, I don't want to just keep running amok in the direction that could lead to bad choices.
Right, right. You know? And bad choices not necessarily mean relapse
no,
to the drugs.
Not at all. But, you know, I mean, I have my kids and my spouse around me and other people that care about me. And if I'm engaging them, you know, talking to them poorly, that's hurting them. And mm-hmm. like I said before, that's not the type of person that I want to be. I know it happens, but I'm trying to be aware of it so I can change that. Some of the other things that I do, well, I mean, just even having vulnerable conversations with the people that I meet with each week and letting them in and being really honest about the things that are going on. For instance, this evening, the lesson that I will be working on in class is about secrets. And I've thought of some things that stem from, like, childhood, things that I just didn't really ever address.
Mm-hmm.
And I get to go and be super vulnerable and share that with my group. Now, that's not exactly the most fun thing to do, but it's a part of my recovery. It's a part of working on the things that I need to keep myself on track so that I'm doing the things I want to, which is be kind to my family and learning how to love more. I feel like one of the other things I'm learning how to do is like be more humble and learn more about what love really is. That self-centeredness has ruled my life for so many years, you know, that trying to change out of that and yeah, and just like what is really loving someone, being there for them? What does that really look like? Some of the things I've been thinking of is it's a lot less about what I want, and it's making sure that the people that I'm caring for are getting their needs met.
Right. It's kind of outlined in that, I think it's called the Prayer of St. Francis, where he says, you know, as he prays to God, he says, let me give comfort rather than be comforted. Where there is, and again, I'm paraphrasing, I used to know it by heart, I guess I'm losing those brain cells, where there's discord, let me bring harmony, on and on, the point being, mm-hmm. let me not do for myself.
Yeah.
Let me do for others. And I think you outlined it pretty clearly there, what in AA, on the back of a lot of, we're talking about those celebration coins, those
yeah.
anniversary coins.
Mm-hmm.
On the back of a lot of them, you'll see a triangle with an H, an O, and a W. How? And what those stand for is honesty, openness, and willingness. And honesty really has to come first in that group, but I think openness and willingness flop back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, you can rearrange them. For me, honesty has to come first because I've already established that I'm willing to go to any length mm-hmm. to recover from the disease of alcoholism. If my sponsor early on said, come over and wash my car every morning before I go to work, I would have done it. Maybe for a while.
If it would have helped, right?
Yeah. If it would have kept me sober, and if I was really being honest with myself that mm-hmm. I was willing to go to any lengths. And then, you know, you're talking about openness, you're sharing with your accountability group or whatever you want
mm-hmm.
to call it,
yeah.
or even just friends or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that openness, that's sticky, that's hard.
Mm-hmm.
You can be honest in your own mind, and that's a good thing, because I was filled with every type of self-delusion possible. That's what kept me that's what made it made me able to keep drinking like mm-hmm. I drank.
Yeah.
Because I knew on some level it was insane, but not lying to myself and saying, either everyone drinks like this or I'm not hurting anybody but myself. A million forms of different lies I told myself to rationalize my drinking.
We're trying to protect our coping thing. You know what I mean? Alcohol, drugs, whatever it may be. We're trying to protect it because we feel like we need it. And we really don't know any other way to go about life without it.
Right.
The thought of not having it is like terrifying.
Even beyond terrifying.
Yeah. I mean, it's even physically makes you sick. So. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. So I was just thinking before I forget, the video there that we're going to do is just basically about like, how does getting a chip help you? Is basically the question. And for me, it gives me a moment to celebrate and it gives me some time to think back on like the progress that I've made. So I've been working on the grief and loss for 4 years and I just recently got a chip for that a month or so ago. And I remember thinking back on the progress that I've made from the time I started until now. And then even from when I was younger until now. And it's a great way to just take a moment and celebrate and then also inspire other people that yes, you can work on things and yes, you can get time underneath your belt. That's part of what a leader does. You know, it's part of what we all do in recovery as we walk out things and it's okay to stumble and fall and have problems.
And when you stumble and fall, it's the getting back up that's recovery.
It is. And it's great to have people around you that can lend a hand and pull you back up and, be there for you.
That's right. That's right. And again, back to the coins, that's why they're important. They mm-hmm. they signify that, you were able to go 30 days without a drink or you've been working on something for 30 days. Because I've been doing the program I'm in for a couple of decades now and I'm not done. I'll never be done because my disease will never be cured by this program. However, my life can improve and mm-hmm. I can improve the lives of the people around me. I think I talked about this last week where there was a fellow who wrote a book called How I Saved the World. And basically what he was talking about was how he saved himself and corrected a lot of the bad things he was doing, which of course affect the whole world. Mm-hmm. And hanging on to one of those coins, I used to carry one with me all the time. I've kind of gotten out of the habit of it. But in the early days, hanging on to one of those coins, it was like a lifesaver. It was mm-hmm. like, okay, I got 24 hours. Okay, I've got 30 days. Okay, mm-hmm. I've got 60 days. Oops, I lapsed. I got 24 hours. Mm-hmm. I got 30 days. I got 60 days. Holy smokes, I've got a year. I've got 5 years. Mm-hmm. I've got 10 years. And I've gone to meetings. I went to one just recently where there was a woman there who we asked, is anyone celebrating any birthdays, 30, 60, 90 days, blah, blah, blah. And are there any annuals? And she said and her name, and she says, and I'm celebrating 35 years today.
Nice.
35 years. It's like, and she's still going to meetings? She should be cured by now, one would think. No, she really recognized that it's the program that you work. And every year is a chance to do better than you did before. Because when you stop working these programs, when you stop doing things like, once you get through with the Genesis process that you're in, you're probably going to be a leader of another group going through the Genesis process. Mm-hmm. And that's how you get to keep the progress you've made, is by giving it away, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. It is. I just continue to keep going to a study of some sort where I'm working on things. I mean, it comes to mind, like AANA, part of the steps, the 12 steps in that, and for most, and CR as well, I mean, you're taking a daily inventory, you're apologizing when you need to. I mean, that's good life stuff for anybody. I don't care who you are. I mean, any human being taking a look at their day and going, I should have I shouldn't have yelled at my husband, or I should have been more helpful, or, oh, I should have made sure I was home in time to eat dinner with the kids. These different kinds of things matter. And just that step in itself, continuing to come to the meetings and participate in the steps and then the program, just like that lady did, helps keep you moving forward in your life, keeps you working on being less self-centered, at least for me. Right. Those things are important. That's like good, smart life choices.
Right, exactly. I and, mean, it's good. You know, show me a person who says they've never had any issues in their life at all that made them unhappy, and I'll show you a real good liar.
Absolutely. Denial.
Yeah, denial is not a river in Egypt.
I mean, I've lived in denial.
Going based on my historical references, I believe there was only one person that lived a blessed life all the way through, and they nailed him to a tree.
Right.
So, yeah, if you can't find salvation, and salvation is to be saved from something. You know, a lot of people put a lot of words in categories. Oh, that's a religious term. No, salvation, it's salvage. You're salvaging what's left of your life.
Yeah.
Your humanity.
And your relationships.
Your relationships. Yeah. You know, if you want to achieve salvation, you got to do some work.
It's not easy.
You know, your program over there is, it's based on religious principles, but that doesn't mean that somebody who's agnostic couldn't come in and see what they could find out there.
Absolutely.
We, on my side of the tracks, with the AA program, we don't put down any form of recovery. We don't look at people who have strong religious beliefs and say that's not the way to do it. We say if that works for you,
right,
in conjunction with what we're doing, because they meet together. I mean, the word God pops up a lot in the Big Book. It's a God of your conception. But if your conception of God is Jesus Christ, right on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, good for you. You've got a really well-defined God. I have a God of what I call my non-understanding, you know, which may or may not be Jesus. I just am not sure, but doesn't mean I don't believe.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a dyslexic agnostic. I don't know if there really is a dog, but that's the way I am.
We like to joke here, too.
Yes.
It's fun.
Yes. Humor is a gift that I've been able to get back, and I don't have to make jokes about my own tragedy anymore,
right.
Although I will if I think it'll get a laugh, because there's been a lot of laughable stuff in my history, let me tell you. When you get together with your friends and say, let's get all hammered and then do this, ... add your tragedy here.
Yeah, that's back in those unhealthy days.
It's kind of funny.
Yeah.
So what else are you guys going? I know that's the part you're going to work on for tonight's thing. And by the way, when I say tonight, I mean this. You're hearing this recorded a week early, so
right. It
will have already happened. But the video may be available.
I'm not sure when they're going to have it up and going. They'll probably show it at Restoration. Well, obviously, they'll show it at Restoration Night. And I don't think it'll be shown at church service, but it will be shown at Restoration Night when they get it all together. And
don't they have like a Facebook page they can link it to, probably a YouTube page?
It's very possible that it'll be on the Real Life Lifer OTP, .com. I think that you can look up stuff. So it'll probably be on the Real Life page at some point.
So
if I hear anything, I'll let you know.
Sure, we'll update later on.
But I guess, the reason why I was thinking of sharing about the subject was just, to inspire other people to think about that and how it can be good to celebrate for a moment your accomplishments in recovery and to look back at the things that you've made progress on.
I mean,
life is not perfect, but I think we were made to have relationship with people and interact, and we were also made to, be doing things, working on ourselves and stuff. So
Right. Yeah. The AA program is described as a spiritual program of actions.
Yeah.
In the Bible, it says, words without deeds is death. And show them your chip. Show them the proof that you're taking steps towards becoming a healthier, more loving, more caring person. that wants to reach out to the rest of the world and not only improve the world through your presence, but also to improve the world by sharing what you've learned. Mm-hmm. And that's a huge thing. That's something that it comes up in the 12th step of AA, which is to forward the message on. And we look at that, AAs look at that very seriously in the sense that if we don't share what we've learned, we won't get to keep it. Will we drink? Maybe. But by passing on the message, it allows me to buy a little bit of insurance for today.
Mm-hmm. And it's helping the generations. Tomorrow. It's helping the generations, you know, that are coming and are here right now.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, the things that work for human beings, they need to be carried on.
Yeah, absolutely. Sure. And, you know, I have personal stories about people who have known that I've gotten into recovery who have approached me later on with the fact that they felt they needed to do something similar to what I did and asking for my guidance. And, you know, my opinion of, you know, what do you think of this program or what do you think of that program? And pretty much a universal answer in that any program is obviously better than what you're doing to yourself now.
Yeah.
So jump into one. If you don't like it, jump into another. But give them a good, honest try. You know, back to how. Mm-hmm. You know, be honest with yourself. The first step, I mean, it's about honesty. Admitting to your innermost self that you're alcoholic and that your life has become unmanageable. It's usually not too hard to look at the kind of shambles, in my case, my life was in. You know, I didn't lose the house. I didn't lose the car. Didn't lose the marriage. It wasn't hard for me to see that I could not manage my life, right. not in a positive way at any rate. Mm-hmm. You know, I was managing myself to bankruptcy and living on Skid Row. Of course, I know a good friend who lived on Skid Row, and he used to say, Skid Row is between your ears. You know, and as true, it's not only a choice, it's a mindset, as well as a physical place.
Yeah, and the mindset that used to be in this brain of mine was just so not good and unhappy.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, if you think about as you were growing up and stuff like that, and you think to the people that you, I don't know, interacted with at some point in time, and they were kind, and they were joyful, and they were pleasant to be around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that caught my attention. I didn't know how they got to be the way they were, but that sure looked good.
Right.
You know? And so not only do I get to work towards being more like that, but I also get to be around people that are like that. And that's really great that there's people around who have more underneath their belt, you know, more experience. They're living healthy so that I can look to them for different kinds of things. And
right.
Guidance. It's so great.
For hope. Yeah. It doesn't surprise me that when I look back on my life and those people that influenced me in a very positive way, those people I really looked up to, all have very strong spiritual programs.
Yeah.
Very strong spiritual programs. Probably of the eldest relatives, the one I had the most respect for was an uncle who was an alcoholic, recovered alcoholic, but he recovered. His wife got him into the Mormon church, the Mormon religion. And that's what pulled him back from the gates of hell.
That's awesome.
And not even knowing any of that as a small child, I adored him. I looked up to him. He was in the Air Force. He would come by and visit us, and we would take him to the airplane, and off he went to Japan or Spain, where he spent a few years. And every time we'd take him to the airport, as a child, you know, would just cry because I knew how much I would miss him in that just very positive environment that I just saw all around him. Having those people in your life that are working towards having a good, strong spiritual program are great to have around. They're great role models. Mm-hmm. They're trustworthy.
Mm-hmm. Just seeing the way that they live and interact with you. I mean, just that. sometimes people share things about themselves or engage with you, but just even just watching them as they talk to you or others, you can just see it.
Yeah, it's what's the expression? You can talk the talk, but can you walk the walk? Mm-hmm. And to find somebody who can do both of those things, wow, fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Well, hey, we're about at the end of our time here. You want to throw anything else in? Are you just still happy to be here?
I'm happy to be sitting. I mean, I work hard all day.
Amen to that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll wrap it up then and say thank you to our listening audience. And if you want to get a hold of us, you have questions or suggestions, we're more than happy to hear from you.
Absolutely.
You can email the Recovery Center at latarrecoverycenter@gmail.com, or you can email me directly at lrccrecoveryradio. That's a mouthful, lrccrecoveryradio@gmail.com. And promise I'll respond. And if we can bring up a topic you want to hear about, we're happy to do
Absolutely.
That. We really are. Sometimes we have, like today we were going to have a guest, but the roads were too icy and they didn't want to travel down from way up north. So kind of had to shift gears. So we're always interested in hearing about what you want to hear about.
Yes,
so
please.
Again, one more time, LRCC recoveryradio@gmail.com. And that's it for us today. I'm Johnny, she's Denise, and if you think you have a problem with alcohol or other drugs or mental health issues, well, you do.
Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side. Maybe working in a barber shop, you may know how to cut hair. And maybe somebody's mistress, maybe somebody's heir. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Might like to wear cotton, might like to wear silk, might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk. Might like to eat caviar, you might like to eat bread. Maybe sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king-size bed. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Bobby, or you may call me Zimmy. You may call me RJ. You may call me Ray. You may call me anything, no matter what you say. You're still gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody. And it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.